When we all get to heaven, God's family, boy, that'd be a nice day, won't it? When we all get to that beautiful place called heaven, that prepared place for those prepared people, those that knew God and those that knew Him well. And today, for those of you that know God, and I'm talking about truly knowing God, there is a big difference, and I want to make sure that you know that. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing God. Would you agree with that? Knowing about God means that you're very aware that He is the Creator and that that the world was framed by His great Word. But knowing God means knowing more about His character, knowing more about the goodness of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God. But it also envelops the fact that you must also know the severity of God, that God is not one that will just accept excuses. God is not one that will allow you to adulterate a relationship with Him. You are either for God, with God, supporting God, loving God, obeying God, or you're not. It's one or the other. But I want to share with you today that our God is such a giving God. Our God just continues to shed His blessings upon those that are following after Him. Our God is a good God. Say that with me. Our God is a good God. He is so good to His children. God is so good to the individuals that will follow after Him and follow after Him in righteousness. And I'm excited today, and I know you are as well, to be able to come together in this place of comfort, to be able to worship a God so great as ours. I'm excited today just to know that our God, our Creator, is a loving God, and certainly He is one that is a giving God. We know that God is a giving God in the fact that He gave us the very best. He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus. He gave His life. Jesus gave His life for you and for me so that we together might have an opportunity at salvation. I can't help but to think about the passages of Scripture that we look at almost every lesson. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish." But the Bible says how? Everlasting life. Even back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, you see where Jesus is being prophesied. He's being talked about. This great Jesus, this once again, a gift from God. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel." Translated, God with us. Very good, Amy. God with us. Then I have to think about what the book of Romans says. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us in chapter 5, down in verse 8, another passage, Brother Jerry, we look at quite often, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? This is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh." Amen? So when we think about God being a giving God, a loving God, I want you to remember those things. Folks, if those passages of Scripture that we just looked at, Isaiah chapter 7, 14, John 3, 16, and also Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, if those passages of Scripture does not show you how awesome our God is, brothers and sisters, I'm convinced you don't fully believe the Scripture, because you cannot read those passages of Scripture and come away with the idea that our God is not a giving God, right? You can't read those passages of Scripture and walk away the fact saying, well, our God's not that loving. Yes, He is. He put it into action. He demonstrated it by sending His Son from the comfort of heaven, from the beauty of heaven, from the splendor of heaven, to come to an earth like this. What is this earth filled with today? Starts with a V. Violence, isn't it? What is the world filled with today? Starts with an S. Sin. Is that right? What is the world filled with today? Iniquity, sin, corruption. All of these things. But thank God today the earth is also filled with a whole bunch of Christians. Amen? There are still a lot of good people in our world today. I get so worn out saying, boy, and I heard this the other day at the funeral home, this world is shot. Worldly people may be shot, but there's a lot of good Christian people still on the face of this earth. Amen? Do you agree with that? So let's make sure that we do not envelop everybody. Let's not stereotype everyone and say because there's a few people that could not care any less about Jesus than what they're doing today. Don't put me with that group. I'm not looking down on somebody. I'm not saying I'm better than they, but I can absolutely guarantee you, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm a born-again believer, a baptized believer in Christ, upon my confession of faith, because I'm going to heaven, I'm in a better place than where they're at. Does that make any sense? So today, understand this, that our God is a giving God. He's a merciful God. He's a wonderful God. But with those blessings comes responsibilities, doesn't it? Do you think that God's just going to pour all these blessings out to you and me? He's going to say, okay, I want you to have all of this. I want you to have all these spiritual blessings and physical blessings, and you just enjoy them. Ta-ta, have a good day. I haven't read ta-ta in the Scriptures yet, have you? I haven't read have a good day in the Scriptures yet. But what I have read in the Scriptures, in Revelation 2:10, if you are faithful unto death, I, Jesus Christ, will give you the... I'll give you the crown of life. Our God is a giving God, but do not, make sure we do not take things for granted. Make sure that we cannot try to use the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and all these things as a license to continue to sin. Does that make any sense? When we know to do better and we don't do better, we become bitter, don't we? We'll become bitter. We're going to become contaminated, and we're going to stay contaminated with the things of the world. Please, brothers and sisters, I'm begging you in the light of the Scriptures, get right with God today, because we don't know what is promised later today. We don't know what is promised for even tomorrow. But I do know what is promised is there's going to be a day called judgment, isn't it? Everybody agree with that? Confirm it with an amen. So there's going to be a judgment day. Are you prepared for that? Are we ready to meet Christ on judgment day? God has blessed us with food that we consume. He's blessed us with a roof over our heads. He's blessed us with clothes that we put on our back. He blessed us with shoes upon our feet. Family and friends that can help us and strengthen us, and we can help others out. Friends, he's also ultimately, for those of you that are Christians, he's added us to his family, hasn't he? In Acts chapter 2, down in verse 47, and having favor with all of the people who... Y'all there in Acts 2:47? The Lord added to the church daily those that are being what? Those that are being saved. So I want us all to understand something this morning. God's blessings, I promise you, did not stop at clothes, did not stop at shoes, food, roof overhead. God just keeps on blessing you and me this very day. He blessed us with the greatest fellowship that you could ever be blessed with. Over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. So you're talking about a great fellowship. Jesus adds us to the fellowship. The Lord adds us to the church. Who? Those that are being saved. Those that recognize who God is. Those that recognize the true characters of God. And those who love him and desires to go to heaven. I would like for us today just to look at several blessings, if I may, several blessings that God certainly does shed upon you and me. God and his blessings. That's the name of our lesson, the title of our lesson today. We're going to look at a few short points, and then I'll be letting this lesson go to your house. The first point that I want us to consider today is going to be found in the book of James, chapter 1, and I want you to look with me at verse 17 in just a moment. But here's your first point. Our awesome Father blesses us with a relationship with him, doesn't he? Our awesome Father blesses us with a relationship with him. Now, I long to have the best relationship in the world with my wife, Paula. Been married to her, been blessed for 43 years. And I long to have the very best relationship I can possibly have. But even my relationship with Paula pales in comparison to the relationship that we should have with God. Amen? God has to be and must be first and foremost. I cannot let Paula. Paula cannot let me. I can't let my child, my daughter-in-law, or anybody else ever get in the way of me and my God. Amen? And they can't let me get in their way either. God must be what? Say it like you mean it. God must be first. Absolutely. And he's got to be. But what I love about Jesus Christ, what I love about the Father, is he allows us and he gives us this relationship with him. I assure you, there are not any greater relationships in all of the world than the relationship that you'll ever have with the Father. Nothing will be any greater. You have my word in the Bible's word. when you trusted Jesus Christ, for those of you that are Christians, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior and become a baptized believer upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, you became, brother and sister, you became a member of the household of God, which is the foundation, brothers and sisters, of your spiritual blessings. Do you agree with that? That's where these spiritual blessings come from. They don't come from your preacher. They don't come from this church building. They don't come from these people. Our blessings come from God. Say it like you mean it. Our blessings come from God. You didn't give me squat. I didn't give you squat. We gave each other what God's blessing us with. Amen? You gave me encouragement, Amy, when I wasn't feeling well. You know why? Because you love God, God loves us, right? Elliot, you've been being prayed for quite a bit down here. You know why? Because we love you in Christ. That's why. And we have other people in the congregation. We do what we do because we are members of the same body. Is that right? We are members of the same body. Is that right? All right, so with us being members of the same body, what a great relationship we have in God. Because we together are being united in Christ Jesus when we put Jesus on. When we realize that the spiritual blessings come from the Father and not from somebody else. We are resources that God uses. He may use Tony Paul to give me this encouragement that I need, but Tony didn't give it to me. God gave it to me through Tony. Is that about right? We encourage each other, Brother Larry, because that's what God has instilled with us. We are the tools that He uses to reach each and every person. Yes or no? All right. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you became that baptized believer. Remember one thing, that all of these blessings, listen, all of them come from Almighty God. James chapter 1 and in verse 17. All found, every good and every gift is from above and comes down from who? Of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We've got to understand and remember, folks, that these blessings, if you have, stop it today. Saying, I did this, and I did that, and I busted my tootie to get what I got, and I've worked day and night, and I've worked around the clock, and I've done this. You've not done squat. God's given you the physical agility to do what you've done. He's given you the common sense to be able to do what you've done. He's given you the resources to be able to reach out and touch the people you've touched. Yes or no? So it's not you that did it. It's not me that's done it. It's God working through us that's allowed us to do what we've done. So let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that we recognize these blessings from God. Our God and His blessings. That's what I want you to remember. Jerry, when you go eat lunch today and say, what did that old preacher talk about down there? Just say, he talked about God and God's blessings. That's what I want us to think about today. God and His blessings. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. So it warrants the question, are you thankful today for all the spiritual blessings that God has blessed you with? Are you thankful and do you understand and do you realize and do you, more importantly, recognize where these blessings are coming from? It was the Lord Himself that loves you. It was the Lord Himself that loves me. And He brought us into this great relationship with His Son. Do you understand today, brothers and sisters, that had God not chosen to bring us into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, we would be headed for eternal damnation? Do you realize that? If Christ Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, no, I'm not going to that cross, He didn't want to go. Let's be very clear. Remember, He said, Father, if this cup of death can pass from me, please let it, but not my will, but thy will be done. We would be very dumb to think that Jesus was just excited about going to the cross. No, He wasn't. But He did go to the cross. He filled that cup up. We don't know the size of that cup, do we? But we know that cup must be pretty big, darling, because it took every bit of my sin. It took every bit of my guilt. It took all of yours and all of yours and all of yours and all of yours. It filled up these cups of death with a lot of things in that cup. One of the things that was in that cup was sin, wasn't it? Another thing that was in that cup was guilt, wasn't it? And then if you look deep enough in there, you'll also see, or actually on top of that cup, you'll see that cup was filled with love, wasn't it? It was love from Jesus. The love for His Father and His love for you and me that was in that cup. And he did not want that cup to pass unless it was his Father's will. But thank you, God above, because you're a God of blessing. You're a God of giving. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. And you did all of that for sinners like us. What an awesome, awesome God. It was the Lord Himself that loves you and me so much that He brought us into that relationship with Him. That relationship with Him that is if I may, we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, and it's predicated on you and me having a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. I bring that up because of what we see in John chapter 14, verse 6, the passage that many of us preachers use, especially if we work at funeral homes. But in John chapter 14, verse 6, anybody have any idea what the Bible says and how that starts? What did he say? And no man except. All right, so I wanted you to say that passage of Scripture because it's extremely important in our relationship with God that we know that no matter what we say, no matter what we do, let's use good grammar again, Amy, we ain't going to heaven without going through Jesus. Amen? You ain't getting there. Not going to happen. So thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you, God, for bestowing all these spiritual blessings upon us that we can now know how to walk up, hold to those nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, and let Him lead us to that prepared place for prepared people. God, our awesome Father, blesses us with a relationship with Him. The second thing we should examine is this. In our world today, as we talk about God and His blessings, our awesome Father also gives us, boy, I need this. I might be the only one here, but I need it. Gives us a daily cleansing. How many besides the preacher needs a daily cleansing? Because when I'm out on the highway and I'm on the road and I see the way people drive and I see the way people cut me off, and then especially, and I got to grow up, at least I'm in trouble here because I'm telling you right now, I am the most immature human being you'll ever meet. I try to be nice, and then when somebody's not nice, guess what? I'm thinking about that 38. Listen, I hate it. And I'm not going to use that word, darling. Paul said, don't say the word hate. That's very hard. Okay, I'm going to do better next week. I'm going to wait one more week. But it drives me crazy when you go like this. Motion for somebody to come in, and then they get in there with an entitlement attitude, like, right, you better let me in. That drives me crazy. It makes me angry. It tears me all to pieces. And then I start looking around like, why in the world would somebody do that? Then I start getting evil thoughts like this. I wish they would get a blowout. I wish somebody would have snagged them on the side. I wish they would hit those orange construction barrels. And I'm thinking, that's really good. And then my daughter-in-law got on to me last week because I was kind of in one of those thinking. She said, well, where is that Lord of your tongue, father-in-law? And that really hurt my feelings. I had to shut up. The reality is, seriously speaking, I need a daily cleansing. Anybody besides me? And then sometimes, have you ever met people, and I'm going to have to clean this up, you know, because I don't want to say the wrong thing, but have you ever met someone you thought, the lights are blinking, the bells are ringing, but there's no train coming? Have you ever met somebody like that? All right. So when you meet somebody like that, especially at the funeral home sometime, and I'm trying to wait on the family, and they come out with some very unique requests, and it's all I can do just to think, okay, now, they probably are not used to this. And some of the questions that I've been asked over this past week, it's been quite unique, and I can't even do it because we're on Facebook, you know, and then I would be held accountable. So the reality is I need a daily cleansing for some of the thoughts that I have about people. And I'm sure with my attitude and my conduct, I'm sure there's thoughts that you may be having about the preacher, so you need a cleansing. So we all need that, yes or no? One of the great blessings that our Father gives us is a daily cleansing. And as a Christian, you now, and I now have the right. Some would say, that's a little bit arrogant. No, it's not. As a Christian, we have a right to the bread of life. We have a right to bathe in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a right to petition God's grace, mercy, and strength upon us, don't we? We have a right to access the power of God within us. Do you remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is what? And the congregation, we've got one person participating. Are y'all, can y'all hear me?
Can y'all hear me?
All right, just want to make sure. I got some dozing, some about to go to sleep. But I'm like, would he hurry up? Turn this up a little bit. Just a little. Is that better? Okay. We are in 1 John. Very good. 1 John 1, 9. Are y'all ready to read this with me? All right, y'all know how I am. I'm sorry, but I don't want you to ever say, Jerry said. I want you to walk out, Heather, with the Bible says. Is that right? Y'all want to be used to that. We've been doing it for 10 years now. The Bible says, if we confess our... Now, do y'all hear the difference? That was so nice. Wake up. Stay awake. He is faithful and just to do what? Our what? Yes, and to cleanse us from how much of the unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. So you see, I know I'm being a little bit silly here, but you see that we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Jesus is not going to come in there. His blood, when we wash in the blood of Christ, He's not going to take away this one, that one, that one. It's not doing that. The Bible says He takes away all unrighteousness. He takes away the punishment for all of our sins. John 8:32, and you shall know the, and the truth shall, not free from problems, not free from earthly consequences, but free from eternal consequences. When we mess up, God takes care of it. Jesus is there, you know, He's on our side, and He's our lawyer, isn't He? Sitting at the right hand of God. When I think about the greatness of God, and I think about His blessings, He blesses us with a daily cleansing. We have a blessing from God. What a blessing. When I sin, when I fall short, when I miss the mark, I, Jerry Ladd, and you have an advocate with the Father. In 1 John chapter 2, down in verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that ye may not what? And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And then the Bible describes who this advocate is. Bring it. Thank you, Heather. Very good. How nice is that? How nice is it that this Jesus that we've heard about, that we've read about, that we've studied about, that we watched Him grow up, and He became a rabbi, and He became that leader, and He did all of these things, that He is now your advocate. He's my advocate, sitting at the right hand of the Father, pleading my case to the Lord, pleading my case to God, pleading your case to God. Oh, listen, what a blessing it is to be able to have that daily cleansing. How nice is that? To have that cleansing, to have our sins washed away, walking every day anew in Christ Jesus. The third point I would consider is this. Our awesome Father is always in our presence. Our awesome God, He is always, brothers and sisters, in our presence. Well, what does that mean? It means this. We are never alone. We're never alone. And you may have felt this way before, and I've said this from the pulpit before, you may be in the middle of a large number of people and yet felt so alone. You may be sitting in a restaurant and there's people all around you. You may be sitting at a ball game. There's people all around you. You may be sitting at a musical concert. People all around you. You may be at home and family all around you, and yet you still feel alone. Do you get that? Sometimes we just feel alone. But I want you to know, God wants us all to know, we are never, ever alone. Friends, listen. When we are faced with setbacks, and every one of us run into adversity, yes or no? All right, every one of us do. We all face illnesses. We all face, at one time or another, financial setbacks, loss of loved ones. Maybe it's the treachery of a friend, someone that you knew without a doubt was your friend. Oh, well, that went south. You knew you just felt in your heart that your marriage was rock solid, but now there's some issues in the marriage. You know that there was some relationship issues, perhaps with friends. Maybe there's some rebellious children. Maybe there's some division going on. Please know and be assured that as a Christian, you are not alone, nor will you ever be alone. Do you understand that? Now, I'm going to bring that to you from the Scripture. Though things may go south in this world, in this carnal world, in the world that we live in, things may go south. Things can get pretty rough. But one of the greatest blessings, or one great blessings of having that relationship with God, is knowing that He is blessing me over and over and over, and He's blessing me with His presence. I have God in my presence. I've got Christ in my presence. You've got God. You've got Christ. that's on your side. You're walking hand in hand with Him every single day. So does it really matter what husband said about you? Does it matter what wife said or girlfriend said or boyfriend said or he said or she said or they said? No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's important that you do all you can to maintain a solid relationship. Oh, absolutely. It's important that you try to get along with people, especially those of the household of faith. But what ultimately matters is putting God first and Him foremost. Yes, sir. Make sure that God is first. When I put Paula the first above God, I'm in trouble. If Paula puts me before God, she's in trouble. If you put others before Christ Jesus and other things before God, I promise you, you're in trouble. You're toying with your spiritual life. I urge you, in line of the scriptures, be sure that Christ Jesus is first and foremost. Why? Because you'll never be left alone. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, talking about Jesus Christ, will never leave you, nor what? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my, and I will not what? What who can do? There it is. So let's go back to the good old days. I ain't studying you. Because you can't touch me. You can't. You could harm this physical body. You could kill this physical body. But you can't touch my soul. I can't touch your soul. Amen? Why? Because we have a relationship with God and we're never alone. Friends may forsake me. Wife or husband may leave me. My child or children may rebel against me. My employer may fire me. My health may fail me. My car may get repossessed. But no matter what, God will always be in my presence. Amen? No matter what happens, He's always in my presence. As long as I walk by faith and not by sight alone. The next point. Y'all thought it was a three-point lesson. Amy's like, yay, got through early. Wrong. I always promise Amy I'm getting around a little bit quicker. Well, but it's just two more real short points. Y'all good with that? You got to the door locked. Okay. Here we go. The fourth point that I want you to examine is this. And I want you to consider this together. God, our awesome Father, provides us with the strength we need to overcome life's obstacles. Does anybody in this building have obstacles? Very good. All right. Not good that we have the obstacles, but very good that we're going to show you where our strength comes from. How many times, even as a Christian, have you perhaps felt helpless? You felt helpless in a situation? You're standing at the hospital bed of someone you love and you see them health going down, feel helpless, don't you? You see someone that just lost a loved one, tears are rolling down their cheeks, feel helpless. You see someone that just got that telephone call, they answered the phone, hello, with a cheerful voice. But by the time they hung up the phone, they were crying. That one phone call changes their whole life. You feel helpless when you see that, don't you? Hurts our hearts when we witness something like that. We have to know that our strength, it does come from within, but who's got to be within? Jesus Christ doesn't. When we talk about where do you find your strength from within, well then you must have Christ Jesus dwelling in you, because we cannot do it on our own. We cannot and will not make it on our own. How many times, even as a Christian, have we felt like throwing in the towel? How many? Have we ever said those words before? I am fed up with this, and I'm about to throw in the... So, see, I'm not the only one guilty of that. But 1 Peter chapter 5, down in verse 7, we'll look at this passage twice in just a second. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us you don't have to do that anymore. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Heather, thank you for saying it with such emphasis. Because He cares. I love that. I thought she was going to throw something for a moment. Because He cares for you. He does, doesn't He? You don't have to care this stuff by yourself. You did that for a long time. I'm not strong for that. We do not have the strength to carry it on our own. But with God, we got this. Please remember this, that there's an enemy out there, he's called the devil, that wants you to fail miserably in your relationship with the Lord and the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walketh about like a roaring what? Seeking whom he may devour. He wants you to fail church. He wants you to fail in your relationships. He wants you to fold under the world's pressures. He wants you to stay away from God. So the mornings that you know, hey, I'm not feeling good, I just have to kick back, or the times that I don't really feel like doing this, or I don't feel like doing that, yeah, I need to read the Bible, but I don't really feel good, and I need to check on Facebook, see what's happening there. When we get the feeling that way, think about Jesus. Think about what He did for you. Think about what He did for me. Think about what He's doing for us today. The devil is winning every single time that you put God off. You just gave the victory to who? Just gave the victory to who? Satan. I ain't doing that. Not intentionally. Say that. We ain't doing that. That's good grammar. I'm going to teach y'all good grammar. Say it. We ain't doing that. I'm like, I can't repeat that. And so the reality is, don't give in to him. And I promise you this, seriously speaking, there's been many, many times, I don't like to throw out the C word or the diagnosis word, but there's been many times since I've had this cancer that I've wanted so badly, seriously speaking, to stay. I'm like, no, I'm about to call. They got to do something. They're just going to have to call somebody. Let Jared or Jerry do somebody fill in. I just don't feel like it. And then I'll sit there for a moment and I'll think about, yeah, if I keep focusing on the pain, I keep focusing on the problem, I'm going to let it rule me. But when I go, you know what? I'm going to feel exactly the same whether I'm sitting in that chair here, I'm going to feel exactly the same, right? So why not come on? Why not be here? Why not get encouraged? Why not have it? When you walk in, somebody says, I've been praying for you all week. How you feeling? Well, evidently you have been praying, because I was sitting on the love seat at 1117 Andover Drive, and now 613 James Avenue. Thank you for your prayer. Y'all get my point or not? All right. So we got to have that strength. The devil wants us to yield to him because we get into habits. Have you ever noticed how people get into habits of missing church service? I just don't feel good. I'm not your judge, and neither are y'all. Be understanding, less demanding, but make sure we're mindful of what God does and what Christ went through. My strength comes from Philippians 4:13. I can do through to Dana, if I ever say I can do this because I'm tough, I'm the biggest wimp out there. The only reason that I can do today what I'm doing today is because Jesus Christ has given me the strength. That applies to you as well. Yes or no? Our awesome Father provides us with the strength, brothers and sisters, to overcome. Let me give you this last thing and then we're out. God and His blessings. Our awesome Father also, this is a little bit redundant, but I want to close with this. He bears our burdens daily, doesn't He? Every day is a new day. Georgia, I see you shaking your head. Yeah, I appreciate that. The reality is He bears our burdens every single day. He's not going to be good to us on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and leave us hanging on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, is He? He's going to be good to us at all times. As I mentioned a few moments ago, life has its challenges, and it can be very, very, very burdensome, and it can be very discouraging. It really does not matter, brothers and sisters, who you are. Trouble will find you. You understand? People say often, I remember when I was in preaching school, don't say negative things like that. Why? Don't tell people, don't say, hey, yeah, you're going to die. Oh, why not? The Bible says it. The Bible also talks about, you know, that man is born of woman and what? Full of trouble. So we know that trouble is bound to come our way, yes or no? So if it's in the passage, why not preach it? But the reality is, I have to share that with you, trouble is on its way. But so is Jesus. Jesus is here. He's here to protect us. You cannot hide from difficulties. You can't mask it. You can't disguise it. Trouble will find you. However, we are so blessed to have the Lord looking after His children. I appreciate what Jesus says in His Word in 1 Peter 5:7 again. Cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Psalm 84:11-12. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who do what? Thank you, Bobby. For those who walk up right. Let's go on and hit verse 12 before Harvey says something. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. And then you can think about what the Bible says over in Psalm chapter 46. Verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we don't have to worry about that, do we? Because who's with us? God is with us through those abundant blessings. 2 Corinthians 2, 2 through 4, you can read that later today and how he comforts his people. Friends, I know and I believe that you'll agree with me that we have an awesome God. We have an awesome God that certainly just continues to shed his blessings upon us. Our God is a giving God, a God who stands upon his promises, a God who keeps his promises. Not only is God, and does God give what we discussed so far, but our God, he gives us rest for our souls, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He gives us peace, as we're closing our lesson, remember this. He gives us peace, according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We know that the Lord gives wisdom to those who ask him, yes or no. Psalm 37, 4 and James 1, 5. Our awesome Father in heaven also gives us direction for our life. Psalm 32, 8. Jesus answers our prayers. John 9, 31 and 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And Jesus gives us, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And also God gives us the crown of life. When we trust him, we respond to him, we live for him, and we are obedient unto him. So where are you today in your relationship with him? How's your walk with the Father? Do you understand his blessings? Are you a recipient of God's great blessings? This morning, if you're not a Christian, I urge you in the light of the Scripture to become one. Hear God's Word. Well, I gave it to you by Scripture. I gave everything I've told you today. I backed it with Scripture. Would you agree with that? So you heard God's Word. Now you got to believe it. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You have to believe that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. Then that's going to create a change in your life. It's called repentance. I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you'll all likewise what? Perish. Then we are to make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses, and I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Upon that confession of faith, I am to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. Every single act of conversion in the New Testament Bible shows baptism being associated with becoming a Christian. Cannot get to heaven without baptism. There's a passage of Scripture that tells us that. Several passages of Scripture bring that out to us. Peter gave it in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Meaning we are to be resurrected as well. When we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we are to live faithful unto, and always remember that we are indeed, maybe today you are a Christian, but you've wandered from the fold of Satan. Maybe you've been baptized for the forgiveness of sin, but you haven't been living for Jesus. Why don't you come back today? Just ask for the prayers of the congregation, repent of those sins, live for Jesus. If you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand in need.